Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. Great to be with you. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. All right, so we are on a lot of stations right now. We are on in a lot of cities right now. There are a lot of people listening with a lot of different fandoms. And I want to pull from that because I want to know. I'm going to make this about me, but make it about you. Okay, it's the old trick. Because I want to know if anybody else feels the way that I do about how my team is treated. I want to know if you feel that way about your team. Or if there's other teams that are out there that you think get a similar treatment. Hour number one, I talked about Miles Turner. He's going to the Bucks. And the Bucks are getting rid of Damian Lillard, and they're stretching out his contract. And so hour number one, I talked about that just from the Bucks and Pacers, you know, frame of minds. And I was happy with the work that I provided in hour number one. I think I talked through that situation pretty good. You can use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Get the podcast at any time. If you're having a hard time understanding what exactly happened or why it happened, I lay that out in hour number one. This is hour number four. Not everyone gets hour number one. You may be listening right now. You don't get hour number one. I talk about it, as I said, in hour number one. So I did it. This is what I want to address right now. What I want to address right now is, what is the deal? What is the deal? And I've brought this up a little bit, so I won't do the whole stump speech. But the way that Giannis and the Bucks are covered, what's the deal? Why is it like this? Why is it 10 years of people trying to get him out of Milwaukee? Why can Milwaukee not have Giannis? Why can Giannis not have Milwaukee? Why is every move criticized? Why does the media, want the Bucks to do a certain thing? They do it, and then they get dumped on. Why does the media say the Bucks need a star next to Giannis? They go get a star, and then they're stupid for trading Jrue Holiday to the Celtics, which they did not do. The Celtics then traded for Jrue Holiday from the Blazers. The same thing happened then that's happening now. Same thing. Jrue Holiday was looked at in Milwaukee as like, oh, you know, this guy's fine. He's not good. He does the, you know, whatever. He's okay on defense. The minute he's out of Milwaukee, it's like he's in a new light and he's pretty all of a sudden. Oh, well, in Boston, he's the missing. Oh, he's going to. Oh, Miles Turner, best free agent on the market. Someone's going to scoop him up. It's Milwaukee. Oh, God, he's actually, you know, he's probably no good anymore. I'm not making this up. And the problem with me addressing this in any forum is that I am a Bucks fan and I'm in Milwaukee, and that already disqualifies me from having this take for a lot of people. So I want to know if there's anyone else that feels like this with their team. Because I feel like no matter what this team does, they can't win. Everyone's crapping on them all the time. They're pretty tight with their information. Nobody saw this Miles Turner thing coming. Nobody saw this Damian Lillard thing coming. Even when he got traded. Is that why? Is it because they're not giving you enough information, so we're going to be mad at them on TV? For weeks in this offseason, it was the Bucks have to do something. They have to show Giannis that they want to compete right now. They have to do it. Every publication, every show, every outlet said it. They have to do something. They have to. Anything. Oh, Giannis is intently watching the 47th pick. Because pick number 47, you know, all the time that's turned around a franchise. There's been some good second round picks, but come on. Giannis is over in Greece. He's not locked in at 3 in the morning on who the Bucks are taking in the second round. Then they come up with this plan. Because there's no way for the Bucks to do anything. There's no way. So they sign Miles Turner. How? With what money? Because they figured out how to do it. They're taking Damian Lillard's contract. They're stretching it. They're releasing him. So instead of paying him 55 this year and next, they're paying him some 20-some million the next 5 years. Yeah, they're going to have a dead cap hit. That's rare in basketball. Big one. But they got Miles Turner, and they're still trying to accumulate pieces to contend in a pretty wide-open East. We all agree the East is wide open. We've all talked about it. So I see this article today, and I saw many articles. I saw Brian Windhorst talking out of both sides of his mouth all day. I saw Chris Haynes with NBA TV immediately say Giannis is unhappy. Okay. And then he said, well, he's unhappy with how it played. Oh, okay. The article at The Ringer. Don't confuse surprising for clever. The Bucks just made an all-time panic move to try to save the Giannis era. Okay, I'm not disputing that that is not true. They're trying to save the Giannis era. Absolutely they are. They're trying to save the Giannis era. They're trying to make it so where Giannis wants to stay a Buck, like he has for 10 years. But isn't that what you told them to do? Everybody 2 days ago says, I don't know, guys, Bucks need to do something drastic to keep Giannis. Then they do something drastic, and everyone says, oh, the Bucks did something drastic. What are those stupid idiots up to? I feel like they are criticized and looked at in a way unlike other teams. What are some other teams? Because there's a difference between I'm not talking about teams that get talked about a lot. And I suppose I'll throw out the number. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, 888-710-4476. I'm not talking about teams like the Lakers and the Yankees and the Cowboys that get talked about for every move they make. I'm talking about teams that, when they're talked about, it's in a negative way. Or it's in like in a mean, it's a very mean, aggressive way that people have been talking about Giannis and Milwaukee, and I don't understand it. I can look back at some of the last champions. You know, some of the last champions. There's clearly a line of who the NBA, and it matters. Like, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. The easy retort, who cares what that guy thinks? Who cares what that guy thinks? Well, then don't listen to that guy or don't watch that guy. I'm not a narrative driver. That's clear. I'm not at a point where people are going to follow what I say as gospel, where I'm going to set the tone. I'm not plugged in. I'm not on TV, on ESPN. I'm not driving a narrative. I constantly ask to help have you spread my narrative to try to get something groundswell here. But it does matter. Because these guys are narrative drivers. Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst, Stephen A. Smith, Mike Greenberg. These guys, they drive the narrative. What they say drives the narrative that you see on TV all day, that you hear on podcast, that other podcast, and try to emulate that podcast. I mean, how many podcasts try to emulate what Simmons is doing? Hell, I did one today. It's called Into the Winklerverse, available wherever you get your podcast. But they're the narrative drivers. And every time the Bucks come up. So who would the last few champions. Not the Celtics. Last year the Celtics, it was so great. It was so great what the Celtics were doing. Oh wow, they're so awesome. Joe Mazzulla's a genius. But the year before that, or this year, Oklahoma City. Were we allowed to enjoy that run, or were we trying to turn SGA into a foul merchant? Or even Doris Burke said it on the broadcast. Was it, hey, look at this team and what they've built? Look at this team and how they've been able to accumulate draft picks and saw something in a young SGA and then drafted the right guys, got the right coach who had come up through their system. Look at how they're beating these teams and responding to losses and the big margins of victory that they have at home. Was it that, or was it SGA's a foul merchant and we should hold these players accountable for when they moved from Seattle 18 years ago that they had nothing to do with? The year before that, it was the Boston Celtics. Oh, Boston, Jason Tatum, he's face of the league. Oh, Joe Mazzulla's so smart. The year before that, it was Denver. Denver didn't get a lot of love on their run. It was always, oh, the Lakers got to come back. Oh, Denver did not get enough love on their run. And I pleaded with Denver. I said, guys, this is going to be hard, but you're not going to get any respect until after you win. And even then, you won't feel like you got any. Year before that, it was Golden State. Oh, Golden State. Year before that, it was Milwaukee. Crapped on. Year before that, it was the Lakers. We kind of crapped on the Lakers. That was the bubble. We kind of did crap on them. So, does it feel like, or am I just being stupid, dummy, crazy? I'm small market. I'm super sensitive. I don't like how Brian Windhorst talking about my Pueyos. Is that what I'm doing? Am I a big old baby? Do I watch First Take and go take a poo-poo in my diapy? Is that what I do? Or am I right? What are some other teams, Carlos, that we think get treated? And do you agree? Am I being a goo-goo gaga bitch boy?
No, I don't think you're overreacting, or what you want to call it, as being a bitch boy. I do think the Bucks get crapped on in national media circles. I think there are a couple NBA teams that get crapped on. I would say the Nets and the 76ers, they both get clowned. It's pretty harsh for the 76ers as well, believe it or not. I hate Philadelphia. I don't want to defend any team from there, but I think they do get a tough shake, if you will. Maybe not to the level of the Bucks, but I would put them right behind the Bucks in the East. The Brooklyn Nets, some of it's deserved because they make stupid moves. Like, they never should have gotten James Harden in the first place, but that's neither here nor there. So I think the Nets get crapped on a lot. I was thinking about outside sports. Do the Giants. And this is not me being a Giants homer or sure. No, okay, like that.
You're going to be a goo goo gaga.
No, maybe I am. The Giants, especially recently, because even on their Super Bowl runs, they were fluky. They weren't necessarily like, oh my God, the Giants are so good. But like, wow, the Giants are just right place, right time. It was very fluky. So it's not like there was a lot of national praise over it. Maybe that first one, because they defeated the Patriots and 18-1 is now a thing forever. And a lot of people did not want to see the Patriots go undefeated, run the table, go 19-0. So the Giants might have got love that season, but there was no long-term, adoration for them. So recently, the Giants are just the LOL Giants. Like, haha, you guys gave Saquon to the Eagles for no reason. Yeah. Oh, you gave Darius Slayton the money that you gave to Saquon Barkley. You guys are, total putts. Look at all the money that you gave to Daniel Jones for 15 touchdowns. So for me in football, personally, I'm going to feel attacked anytime that you call on the Giants. Some of it is deserved, but some of it is also completely unfair. Like, I'm sorry, I don't have a problem letting Saquon Barkley go. I would have traded Saquon Barkley. It just so happened that he ended up in Philadelphia. Those things happen. Teams make those kind of moves all the time. I'm not going to pay a guy $13, $14 million a year when I've been losing with you. So how you feel about the Bucks, I feel very similar about the Giants. My other teams probably don't come into play. I don't think the Cubs get clowned on. The Bulls are completely irrelevant. Nobody talks about them, even in a negative fashion. So the Giants, for me, would be my team. They get crapped on too much.
I'm trying to think of a team that is, like, harmless. I think the 76ers do get...
They take a lot of flack.
I think they do, too. And especially for me. But that's still because they haven't advanced to a conference championship. I'm trying to find a team that's, like, won recently. In the NFL, I think, and we've talked about them a little bit tonight, but the Dolphins never get any good publicity. People are always calling the Dolphins soft or bad.
Yeah,
or
freeze the fish.
Ripping on Tua. Let's see. The Dolphins might be that. I've talked about, because there's also teams that are on the inverse of this, where the media loves them.
Oh, yeah.
So the Celtics are a team that the media loves. And this is what I talk about all the time with the 49ers. The 49ers get every benefit of the doubt. Remember, they trade up for Trey Lance, all those picks. Everyone's like, oh, that's a good move. You need a quarterback. And then they eventually trade him for a fourth-round pick to Dallas. And everyone's like, oh, Dallas, fourth-round pick for Trey Lance? With like 10 times the aggression that they did not give the San Francisco 49ers. It's like, why is one party able to get away with everything, and when the other party does something innocently bad, it's a national scandal? I shouldn't have used the word party, but I guess it also, I meant like party like person. I meant that. I did mean that. MLB.
It's harder for me to think of teams that get a lot of praise, like they can't do no wrong. It's funny. I would say the Yankees get a lot of praise outside of New York. I think nationally, the Yankees, oh, they can't do any wrong. In New York, they can't do it right. They get eviscerated by New York media. But I think one team that would get crapped on would be the Blue Jays, especially recently.
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays are in there.
Because the Blue Jays are always the bridesmaid. They're never the brides when it comes to free agent signings. Like the Shohei Ohtani thing, how that whole breakdown. Like, there's a plane going to Toronto right now. Oh, wait, that Shohei's not actually on that plane. Two hours later, he's a Dodger. You know, they lost out on a bunch of free agents.
I was working a Saturday that day, and we were following it. People were trying to do plane trackers. He was at his house. Plane tracker Twitter, by the way, the worst. The worst.
Worse than medical doctors?
No, that's the worst. Well, there's also worse.
There's worse. Much worse, yeah.
Yeah. 888-710 for ISN. All right, I guess, you know, I guess everyone's going to submit that it's the Bucks, and I'm right. Either I'm right, there's no team covered like the Bucks, or people are like, Bart's a goo goo gaga, poopy pants baby. All right. Well, I've accomplished that tonight. 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. We shall return. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Talking about which teams get dunked on. Which teams do you feel like get an unfair shake from the national media, from national fans? Obviously, I have contributed the Milwaukee Bucks to this conversation. G is in Atlanta. What's up, G?
What's going on, Bart? Love the show, man. First time calling.
Hey, thanks for calling, bud. What's up?
And, of course, you know, calling from Atlanta, you know, I'll kind of give it away. But, of course, I'm going to mention my Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, first, shout out to Carlos for the intro music as well. You know what I mean? Playing one of Kirkwood's finest, East Atlanta. You know what I mean? Really representing there. But, of course, you know, elephant in the room, 28-3. They completely deserve everything and all the flack that comes from that. But just speaking a little bit more, you know, recently, of course, you know, hey, why you give Kirk Cousins all this money coming off an Achilles injury? Yeah. He started off the season, you know what, 6-2, had an ultimate collapse. You know, of course, the middle part between that was, hey, how'd you sit there and go draft Michael Penix when you just paid Kirk Cousins all this money? Now we're going through this whole Kirk Cousins debacle, but nobody has brought up how smart of a move it was to actually have Michael Penix in the building for a situation exactly like this. Of course, I'm a hometown fan, so maybe I got rose-colored glasses on. But, you know, to be honest, the Falcons didn't have Michael Penix in the building right now. Where would they really be?
Yeah, you know, could have Kirk Cousins as your starter. You don't want that.
Exactly. You know, speaking even to the draft this year, you know, I mean, I'm a younger guy. I just turned 29 this year. And my entire life, I really cannot recall the Falcons getting decent pressure on the quarterback. Had a few years with John Abraham. I remember when I was really, really small, of course, that one outlier of a year when we went to the Super Bowl with Vic Beasley, who decided he didn't want to play football anymore after that. But they go out and they draft two great pass rushers, in my opinion, you know, especially with the steal for Jalen Walker. Of course, a UGA kid as well. But now everybody's saying, oh, jumping back into the first round to get another pass rusher is a bad move. Yeah. They leverage too much. It's like, what in the world? And then I think I saw a report from CBS Sports or something. I can't remember the exact where it came from, but they ranked all the quarterbacks by division, and then they still put Michael Penix behind whatever that guy's name is that got drafted to the Saints. Like, okay, maybe I can understand Baker Mayfield. Yeah, you know, the national media wants to put Bryce Young maybe second. But then you put, what was his name, Tyler Strauss, I believe, or something like that, above Penix, who already done played actual meaningful games in the NFL and went toe-to-toe with Jaden Daniels in a primetime game that if the coach would have called a timeout, we probably would have won. So, you know, I can continue to go on and on how they're constantly just dunking on us, as you guys say. Bijan Robinson was second in the league only to one person, and that was Saquon Barkley, of course. But literally nobody hears about it. You know, if it's not a quick highlight video, maybe here or there, nobody really even knows who Bijan Robinson is. So, you know, I hang up and listen. I really love the show, but I had to shout out
my
Atlanta
Falcons. Yeah, I feel you, G. I feel you on that one. The 28, and thanks for the call. The 28-3 part of that is rough. That is rough. I put it in a different category, but it's like people do get their shots in at 28-3. And if that score is ever around, people will bring up the Super Bowl. JD's in Columbus. JD.
Hey, Bart, what's going on, buddy?
What's up?
Oh, not that long. Hey, man, I just want to say, like your show, definitely. And I think Cleveland would rank in what you're asking. I mean, they say the East is wide open now because of all these injuries and whatnot, but nobody ever mentions Cleveland in this scenario.
The Cavs? Yeah,
the guy had a slight injury. Yeah. Go ahead.
The Cavs is really interesting because they had a great year. Like, regular season, you know, the separate winning streaks, and they had a great year.
Yeah, they did.
But the way that it ended so quickly and the way that they looked so fatigued, I don't know if that series goes six even or seven. I don't know that people just have a really bad taste in their mouth about how it happened. But I think how it happened was, you know, the Pacers were quick and they were hustling and they were after it and they maybe took them off guard. Pacers, and I don't think it. I mean, the Cavs are still a good team and they're probably getting better. I think they're the number one. They're the favorite of the East right now.
Nobody mentions them though. The East is wide open.
That's true. They don't put it where it's Cavs and then who's fighting for two. You're right. Everyone's saying it's just generally wide open. You're right.
Yeah. Hey, if I was going to ask you, I listen to a lot of sports radio. Got it on 24/7 on my Alexa app here. But what do you think about, as far as a sportscaster, you're nationally known and listened to, being a fan and portraying that, should be biased more, you think? Or how does that I know a lot of these sports guys are, but what do you think about
I mean, clearly I am, but my approach has been, if I was like calling a game on a broadcast network, I think those guys need to play it a little more tight. I think the key for me is like this. So clearly I wanted to complain that I think the Bucks get bad coverage, but I also want to know, I want to know if like other people relate to that. So I would use my fandom
to relate it. This example, but just in general, you know?
Yeah, I'm not gonna like when I'm on the air and one of my teams are on, it's very hard to watch those games while being on the air. It actually sucks. And I can't pretend that it doesn't. I've tried, I can't. So I just gotta let it happen. And if it sounds bad, hopefully I'm forgiven, but I can't do better than that. So it comes out.
You did great, man. I love your show.
Well, appreciate you, JD. Good to talk to
definitely.
You.
Doug says hi.
Oh, okay. Hey. All right. JD in Columbus. I'll get Cooper in Toronto. Cooper. All right. 3, 2, and it's time for Dad Corner.
Shut the hell up!
It's Dad Corner with Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
Marco, good to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
Hello, Bart.
All right, I may have brought this up in the past, or at least an iteration of it, but I wanted to give the example from the weekend. And I know it's a little hypocritical because I talk about my kid on the show, and I'm doing it right now. I talk about my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Social media and posting pictures of your children. What's the Belletti family philosophy there?
I don't at all. Like zero. There was one picture of all three of my kids that I ever posted on Twitter. And it was when my oldest was like 6 months old. It was a Christmas picture, and it was because he accidentally, or just kind of the way it came out, he was giving everybody the middle finger. That's the only picture I've ever posted of my children on social media. Now, my wife does on Facebook, but I'll be fair, I don't have Facebook, and I don't know what the hell she does, and that's really not my business, if that makes sense. I'm not going to tell my wife what to do.
Yeah, yeah. We don't post pictures of them. I don't know how different I would be if I wasn't on the radio, I guess, is the way to say that. I've posted like two pictures ever, but it's like him from behind. And so I bring this up because we were at the baseball game this weekend and we had pretty good seats. So I took this picture of him sitting there without his face. You couldn't see his face, but you know, you could see where he's sitting. And I thought, I might post this. And then I asked my wife, and she's like, yeah, it doesn't show his face. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask him. I'm gonna ask my kid. I'm going to ask my five-year-old kid. I said, bud, do you mind if I put this picture on the internet? And he goes, I don't want you to do that, Daddy. And so I did not get consent, so I didn't do it.
Huh. Did you follow that up with a why? Is your five-year-old a genius? Is he aware that the internet is just poison and he shouldn't be on it?
Well, I think what has happened is he understands, because like he'll watch YouTube, okay? And we had a YouTube kind of run tonight. But the things he's watching on YouTube right now, I'm very okay with. It's these guys that like play NBA 2K or Madden, and they simulate games, and it's like an imperialism map where they take over the country. Like, the Raiders have taken over the Niners' territory. So that's sports, I guess. That's fine. Huh. Or he watches, like, people take all these wrestling figures and do a Royal Rumble. It could be worse. Could be much worse.
Oh, it could be worse. That sounds mind-numbing, but it could be a lot worse, yes.
But what I've always told him is, because he's watched some worse brain rot than that, but I said, I'm not letting you watch kids. You want to watch these 18 to 22-year-old dudes that turn their giant mansion they have somehow into a Ouija board? I don't care. You're not watching children because they don't have a say in being able for you to watch them. So I have told him about that many times, and maybe he went into that. I just feel like if I were to post pictures of my kid, I would be using him as a prop. I would be clearly trying to get likes and engagement. Am I sharing my life? Am I sharing his life? Should he get a say in that? I think he should. So I don't post. Now, if he's like in the newspaper or in a yearbook or in something like normal, but I don't want him to turn a certain age and have his whole life story already told on the internet without his permission. I don't like that.
I applaud you. I think that's rare. I'm in the same boat, but like I don't really think that most people share that same thought and sentiment. So
most of the time it's harmless and you're proud of your kid. Or
I know, but it's also you're using your child to get other people's approval. And that, I don't know, always kind of stunk to me. But I realize I'm weird, so I'm glad to hear that you're just as strange as I am and that we think alike in this regard.
I would think that if you're listening and you post pictures of your kid regularly somewhere, I think that you think that, oh, you're just sharing your life with the people in your inner circle.
Right.
And that's probably true in many cases.
Not right.
Not all.
And it depends on how you do it. Look, right. And I'll be the first one to tell you. Look, I'm not sitting here holier than thou. I'm sure, and I know, just because I don't see them. I know my wife puts pictures of the kids on Facebook somewhere, somehow, because I will run into people randomly. Oh, I saw your daughter look so pretty at the wedding. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And it's because she saw it somewhere on Facebook. So I get it. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not telling you that my wife is utilizing my children to get approval from let's not go too far. But I do think that sometimes it's unnecessary, and you should just leave your children in your own house with you, if that makes sense.
I'm also on the inverse of that, because there's one specific person I'm thinking of, very nice person, where she is someone that I am Facebook friends with, but I don't really see now once every 4 years, maybe. And on Facebook, I was watching her kids grow up. And I'm like, I'm not watching your kids grow up unless I'm actually like watching your kids grow up. You know what I mean? If I'm engaging with you and I see you, that's one thing. But to just watch these videos of these kids I don't even know, I didn't like it.
Well, I think so you should just get back to get to know your cousins again. Because this is, that would kind of get back to, you know, you'd know these children if you called your cousins.
Yeah, I don't talk to my cousins. I
talk to your family, Bart.
I'm pretty sure they're all still alive.
Call your family,
I haven't got a call from my grandma in a while about any of them, so. All right, good. I feel good. Yeah, but I have asked consent at the age of 5 for my kid about putting a picture on the internet.
The more I hear about your son is a genius, as an absolute genius.
Thank you. I know.
And now I just gave you the like that you were looking for on.
But I'm talking about him. Isn't that hypocritical?
Probably.
Hey, I won't post this picture of you, buddy. But I'm gonna tell a nationwide audience about what you did and said. And how you act.
And if we weren't up against the clock, I'd give you a story about my 5-year-old, but now we're up against the clock.
So. We got the clock and up against it.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, you know.
All right. Well, here he is once again. It's Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Some more tidbits on the Miles Turner, Damian Lillard situation. Chris Haynes reporting that Aaron Goodwin, Damian Lillard's agent, about a month ago reached out to the Bucks and informed them that Dame would like to rehab back home in Portland and stay with his kids, and that some with the Bucks didn't really approve of that. Damian Lillard talks to Chris Haynes a lot. So whoever signs him next, be aware of that. I enjoyed Zach Gelb talked about the situation tonight. I was doing stuff with the kid. I didn't catch JR. I'm sure Pat Boyle will be talking a little bit about the Bucks, and it's okay for those guys to do it. It's okay for those guys to do it because, you know, they're not Bucks fans, so they can talk about it, and you'll respect what they have to say. What I have to say is just, you know, fanboy, you know, wah-wah. So, I apologize for talking about, like, the one news story today. I do also want to congratulate the Pac-12 for adding a new member in Texas State. They are now football compliant. This was a conference just a few years ago. Arizona State, Cal, Oregon State, USC, Stanford, UCLA, Washington State. They added UCLA. That doesn't make sense. They added Utah. They added Colorado. And then for 2 years, they were Oregon State and Washington State, and that was it. And the commissioner at the time, she had a choice. She could be the commissioner and ride this thing into the sunset, or she could rebuild this thing. And folks, the Pac-12 is built. Boise State. Colorado State. Fresno State. Oregon State. San Diego State. Texas State just bought out of the Sun Belt for five M's. Utah State. Washington State, and non-football, Gonzaga. So that is your new Pac-12. They can exist as a football conference, still 8 teams. I don't know the difference between them and the Mountain West, really, or the other one. But there it is as the expansion and realignment continues. It's time to wrap things up with our WTF.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
Here's tonight's Winkler's thrilling factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait. WTF? What the?
Oh, my God.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. I got to figure out what the hell's going on here. So I was I was looking for a WTF, a Winkler thrilling fact. And I asked AI, give me a stat about baseball tonight. I did. I asked AI. And it told me all these things that happened in the Nationals game tonight. So I just thought, before I go on the air with this, let me verify. The Nationals got rained out. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But the actual thrilling fact I have for you is in regard to Caitlin Clark. Remember, the players voted her 9th. Now, I saw a lot of arm twisting about that. They actually didn't vote her 9. They voted top 4. Some let her out because she's been hurt this year. She's an all-star. You're not voting her 9th. She was first fan rank, 3rd in media rank. She was first in fan rank because she got 1.29 million all-star votes from the fans. 1.29 million all-star votes. For reference, the top 30 vote-getters combined for the 2023 All-Star Game, got 1.17 million All-Star votes. We can have the stupid discourse around her if you must, but it's clear that she is bringing more eyeballs to your league. So maybe embrace that instead of trying to run her out. I get it. There's some jealousy. I get it, but this is getting absurd. And that'll do it tonight. Thanks to Marco Belletti and Carlos Ortiz, and thanks to most of you. That'll be my new one. Pat Boyle's up next. We'll be back tomorrow. It's the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.